Krishna Book, Canto 9, Mathura, Chapter 50, Scene 4, Muchukunda's Wonderful Prayers. When Lord Krishna ordered King Muchukunda to ask a benediction from him, the king became very joyful and immediately remembered the prediction of Garga Muni, who had foretold long before that in the 28th millennium of Vaivasvata Manu, Lord Krishna would appear on this planet Earth. As soon as Muchukunda remembered this prediction, he began to understand that the Supreme Person, Narayana, was present before him as Lord Krishna. Muchukunda immediately fell down at Krishna's lotus feet and began to pray. My dear Lord Krishna, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I can understand that all living entities on this planet are illusioned by your external energy and enamored of the illusory satisfaction of sense gratification. Being fully engaged in illusory activities, they are reluctant to worship your lotus feet. And because they are unaware of the benefits of surrendering unto your lotus feet, they are subjected to various miserable conditions of material existence. They are foolishly attached to so-called society, friendship, and love, which simply produce different kinds of miserable conditions. Illusioned by your external energy, everyone, both man and woman, is attached to this material existence, and all of them are engaged in cheating one another in a great society of the cheaters and the cheated. These foolish persons do not know how fortunate they are to have obtained this human form of life, and so they are reluctant to worship your lotus feet. By the influence of your external energy, they are attached to so-called society, friendship, and love, like dumb animals that have fallen into a dark well. The example of a dark well is given because in the fields there are many wells unused for years and covered over by grass, and the poor animals, without knowing of them, fall into the wells, and unless they are rescued, they die. Being captivated by a few blades of grass, the animals fall into a dark well and meet death. Similarly, foolish persons, without knowing the importance of the human form of life, spoil it simply for sense gratification and die unnecessarily without any useful purpose. My dear Lord Krishna, I am not an exception to this universal law of material nature, for I am also one of those foolish persons who has wasted his time for nothing. And my position is especially difficult, for on account of my being situated in the royal order, I was more puffed up than ordinary persons. An ordinary man thinks of becoming the proprietor of his body or of his family. But I began to think in that way on a larger scale. I wanted to be the master of the whole world. And as I became puffed up with ideas of sense gratification, my bodily concept of life became stronger and stronger. My attachment for home, wife, and children, my attachment for money, and attachment for supremacy over this world became more and more acute. In fact, it was limitless. And so I remained always attached to thoughts of my material living conditions. Therefore, my dear Lord Krishna, I wasted so much of my valuable lifetime without any benefit. My misconception of life having been intensified, I began to think of this material body, which is just a bag of flesh and bones, as the all in all. And in my vanity, I was like a dog who believes that it has become the king of human society. In this misconception of bodily life, I began to travel all over the world, accompanied by my military strength, my soldiers, chariot drivers, elephants, and horses, assisted by many commanders and puffed up by power. I could not trace out your lordship, who is always sitting within my heart as the most intimate friend. I did not care for you, and this was the fault of my so-called exalted material condition. I think that, like me, all living creatures are careless about spiritual realization and are always full of anxieties. They are thinking, what is to be done? What is next? But because we are strongly bound by material desires, we continue to remain in craziness. Yet, in spite of our being so absorbed in material thought, inevitable time, which is only a form of yourself, is always careful about its duty. And as soon as the allotted time is over, your lordship immediately ends all the activities of our material dreams. As the time factor, you end all of our activities, just as the hungry black snake swiftly swallows up a small rat without any leniency. Due to the action of cruel time, the royal body, which was always decorated with golden ornaments during life, and which moved on a chariot drawn by beautiful horses, or on the back of an elephant nicely decorated with golden ornaments, and which was advertised as the king of human society, oh, that same royal body decomposes under the influence of inevitable time, and becomes fit for being eaten by worms and insects, or being turned into ashes, or the stool of an animal. This beautiful body may be nice while in the living condition, but after death, even the body of a king is eaten by an animal, and therefore turns into stool, or is cremated in the crematorium, and turned into ashes, or is put into an earthly grave where different kinds of worms and insects are produced out of it. My dear Lord Krishna, not only do we become under the full control of this inevitable time after death, but also while living in a different way. For example, I may be a powerful king, and yet, when I come home after conquering over the world, I become subjected to many material conditions. It may be that when I come back after being victorious, all subordinate kings come and offer their respects. But as soon as I enter into the inner section of my palace, I myself become an instrument in the hands of the queens. And for sense gratification, I have to fall down at the feet of women. Yes, this materialistic way of life is so complicated that before taking the enjoyment of material life, one has to work so hard that there is scarcely an opportunity for enjoying. And to attain the youthful condition with all material facilities, one has to undergo severe austerities and penances and become elevated to the heavenly planets. If one gets the opportunity of taking birth in a very rich or royal family, even then in that condition, one is always anxious to maintain the status quo and prepare for the next life by performing various kinds of sacrifices and by distributing charity. Even in the royal condition of life, one is not only full of anxieties because of political administration, but one is also in anxiety over being elevated to heavenly planets. It is therefore very difficult to get out of the material entanglement, but somehow or other, if one is favored by you, by your mercy only, he or she is given the opportunity to associate with a pure devotee. And that is the beginning point of liberation from the entanglement of material conditional life. My dear Lord Krishna, only by the association of pure devotees is one entrapped by your lordship, who is the controller of both the material and spiritual existences. You are the supreme goal of all pure devotees, and by association with pure devotees, one can develop one's dormant love for you. Therefore, development of Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees is the cause of liberation from this material entanglement. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so merciful that in spite of my being reluctant to associate with your great devotees, you have shown your extreme mercy upon me as a result of my slight contact with a pure devotee like Gargamuni. By your causeless mercy only have I lost all my material opulences, my kingdom, and my family. I do not think that I could have gotten rid of all these entanglements without your causeless mercy. Kings and emperors accept the life of austerity to forget the royal condition of life. But by your special causeless mercy, I have already been bereft of the royal condition. Other kings exert themselves to get out of the attachment of kingdom and family by acceptance of the hardships of renunciation. But by your mercy, I do not need to become a mendicant or to practice renunciation. My dear Lord Krishna, I therefore pray that I may simply be engaged in rendering transcendental loving service unto your lotus feet, which is the ambition of the pure devotees who are freed from all kinds of material contamination. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you can offer me anything I want, including liberation. But who is such a foolish person that after pleasing you would ask from you something which might be the cause of further entanglement in this material world? I do not think any sane man would ask such a benediction from you. I therefore surrender unto you because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the super soul living in everyone's heart, and you are also the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Moreover, you are also this material world, because this material world is only the manifestation of your external energy. Therefore, from any angle of vision, you are the supreme shelter for everyone. Everyone, either in the material plane or in the spiritual plane, must take shelter under your lotus feet. I therefore submit unto you, my Lord. For many, many births, I have been suffering from the threefold miseries of this material existence, and I am now tired of it. I have simply been impelled by my senses, and I was never satisfied. I therefore take shelter of your lotus feet, which are the source of all peaceful conditions of life, and which can eradicate all kinds of lamentation caused by material contamination. My dear Lord Krishna, you are the super soul of everyone, and you can understand everything. Now I am free from all contamination of material desire. I do not wish to enjoy this material world, nor do I wish to take advantage of merging into your spiritual effulgence, nor do I wish to meditate upon your localized aspect of Paramatma. For I know that simply by taking shelter of you, I shall become completely peaceful and undisturbed. Thus ends Chapter 50, Scene 4, Muchukunda's Wonderful Prayers. All glories to Krishna Book, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.